This is 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source. Good afternoon. I'm Mark Rumsey. A number of controversial bills are before the North Carolina House today. They include stripping some key powers from municipalities and making school districts give more to charter schools. The House is currently in recess and will reconvene at 7 p.m. Joining me now to catch us up on what's happened so far are WFAE's Tom Bullock and Lisa Wharf. Thanks to both of you for joining me. And Tom, let's start with you. Tell me about House Bill number 279.
Well, 279, Mark, started as a conference committee bill to certify counselors and lay out provisions on things like sexual education. But late last night, three new provisions were added. And by new, I mean they weren't just new to the bill. They had yet to be considered by either the House or Senate. Now, that alone is unusual, but this was doubly so since these would represent significant changes to what cities and towns can do.
Okay, let's take these measures one by one. The first was about the minimum wage.
That's right. The bill would ban municipalities from setting their own minimum wage. This seems to be an attack on the living wage debate going on nationwide. But I asked Charlotte City Attorney Bill Hageman about this, and he said while he's still trying to dissect the measure, it doesn't really seem to be much of a change, and he cited current statute that already prohibits cities from doing that.
Tom, the second provision has to do with what's called fair housing.
And it's also known as affordable housing, and here's where things get controversial. Hageman says the bill may limit a city's ability to require developers to build affordable housing along with their other projects. Now, he's still digging through that, but there are two areas in which he feels confident would change. The first deals with city regulations to ban some kinds of discrimination in housing.
What it would do, in my opinion, is prohibit extending protections based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression.
And the second thing, Mark, is this.
It appears to me that legislation may eliminate minimum housing codes, which protects tenants in rental properties.
Now, this would be things like requirements that the water works, that it's running, that there's working heat before a property can be rented. Hageman adds he's not sure if the language was intentional or unintentional when it was included in the bill. And the final provision, Mark, was similar to the religious freedom bills that made headlines in Indiana and Arkansas earlier this year. It would bar cities from enforcing ordinances that would require businesses to do business with all people, regardless of any religious beliefs that may be violated in that process.
Tom, this is a lot of stuff. Do we know why these measures have been introduced?
No, and we don't know why so late in the session. Here's what Representative William Brawley from Mecklenburg County asked his fellow Republican, Paul Stamm.
The purpose of this bill, cutting through the lawyer talk that both you and Representative Bishop have used, is basically tell cities, you never could do this, stop doing it.
That's it.
Well, it's not exactly it. This would actually require the federal government to come in to enforce laws that have been enforced locally for some time. We'll know whether or not the House will vote on this bill later tonight or early tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, WFAE's Tom Bullock. And turning now to Lisa Wharf. Lisa, under this latest charter school bill, school districts would have to hand over more money to charters. That would include money used to administer programs that not all charters have. How would this work?
So first of all, education accounting is complicated. So you're going to have to bear with me a bit on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a quick primer on how charters get paid. The state gives school districts about $5,300 per student. And most counties, if not all, like Mecklenburg, also pitch in extra money. The school district passes both that state and local money on to the charter. So when a student in Mecklenburg County attends a charter, CMS hands over about $8,500 to that school because it's not taking on the cost of educating that student. But school districts get a lot of money they don't currently have to pass on.
Such as?
Take the money the federal government gives to districts to provide lunch for students from low-income families. That money has to be spent on feeding kids. But the district is given a certain amount of money to spend on administering the program. In this case, that would be on the cooking and storage of the food, and that's called indirect costs. Under this new legislation, that money would have to go to charters, even if they don't offer any lunches for their students. And that's part of the reason the North Carolina School Boards Association says it's unfair. Here's Leanne Winter with the group.
Our organization is very much opposed to this piece of legislation. It provides funding to charter schools for programs and services that they may or may not even be providing.
And then she points out there's the money CMS spends to teach classes at the county jail. The sheriff's office reimburses the district for that, but under this bill, the district would have to share that money with charters, again, even though they don't provide these classes or services. The same would go for other grants and gifts given to the district without any stipulations for where it goes.
Lisa, obviously school districts don't think this is fair, but why do supporters of this bill think that it does make sense?
Charter school leaders often complain their schools don't receive nearly as much money as traditional public schools. For example, they don't receive any money from the state or county for capital expenses like building a school or buying a bus. So they say this bill would balance things out better. Here's Eddie Goodall with the NC Alliance for Public Charter Schools.
We need to give the charter schools a fair share of public dollars so it can have its programs. It can do what it needs to do. If you take the approach that it doesn't have to be shared, if it's a program, you can see how programs can multiply.
And Goodall guesses that would be an extra $15 million.
WFAE's Lisa Wharf and Tom Bullock. It's 79 degrees in Charlotte.